from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Moroccan arts collaboration strengthens friendship between the two countries. Indonesia to soon break ground on 100 gigawatt solar energy project. I'm Anissa, and this is the news in detail. Indonesia and Morocco are strengthening bilateral relations through arts and cultural collaboration. Musicians from both countries perform at the Moroccan-Indonesian Arts Nights in Jakarta, symbolizing friendship and serving as a platform for the dialogue between civilizations. The event is also expected to create broader opportunities for cooperation in culture, education, tourism, and the creative economy. Here is the full report by Ofra Regina.
The Indonesian Ministry of Culture and the Embassy of the Kingdom of Morocco brought together artists from both countries at the Moroccan-Indonesian Arts Night in Jakarta on Tuesday evening. Carrying the theme Bridging Moroccan-Indonesian Civilizations, the event featured musical and artistic collaborations aimed at strengthening friendship between the two countries. Through their joint performances, Indonesia and Morocco sought to demonstrate that different traditions and cultural backgrounds can be brought together without losing their respective identities. Minister of Culture Fadli Zon said relations between Indonesia and Morocco had developed long before the two countries officially established diplomatic ties. He said the close relationship was built through exchanges of knowledge, shared religious values, cultural traditions, and centuries-old people-to-people connections.
That the relationship between Indonesia and Morocco has never been built solely through diplomacy between governments, but also through enduring people-to-people connections. The exchange of knowledge, shared spiritual values and cultural traditions passed down through generations. So, distinguished guests, the collaborative performances we have witnessed tonight beautifully illustrate how two artistic traditions born in different geographical settings can come together in perfect harmony while preserving their own unique identities. Every melody, every verse, and every performance embodies a dialogue between civilization founded upon mutual respect, understanding, and cultural enrichment.
According to Fadli Zon, the collaboration between Indonesian and Moroccan musicians demonstrated how art could serve as a platform for dialogue and bring the people of both countries closer together. Every melody and performance represented a cultural conversation based on mutual respect and understanding. He added that the arts collaboration could also create opportunities for broader cooperation. These opportunities include artist exchanges, education, research, cultural heritage preservation, tourism, cultural industries, and the development of the creative economy. Meanwhile, Moroccan Ambassador to Indonesia, Redouane Husseini, said the Moroccan-Indonesian Arts Night was more than just a musical performance. He said the event was a celebration of friendship and a living symbol of the close relationship between the people of Indonesia and Morocco.
Today we are not only preserving this precious legacy, we are giving it new momentum. Music is often described as the universal language of humanity, and it is indeed. It speaks directly to the heart, to our values as humans, transcending borders, languages, and differences. Tonight, Moroccan and Indonesian musicians come together on one stage in a spirit of dialogue and creative harmony, a living symbol of friendship uniting our two countries.
Redouane said music was a universal language capable of transcending national borders, languages, and cultural differences. According to him, the collaboration of Moroccan and Indonesian musicians on one stage was a clear example of how creative collaboration could strengthen people-to-people relations.
The Indonesian government will soon begin construction of solar power plants with a total capacity of 100 gigawatts across the country. The major plan was announced by Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Bahlil Lahadalia, after attending a limited meeting with President Prabowo Subianto at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. According to Bahlil, President Prabowo Subianto will personally lead the inauguration of the National Energy Project.
We also discussed the implementation of the 100 gigawatt solar power project, which, God willing, will soon be marked by the launch of its first groundbreaking.
In the initial phase, the project is planned to begin with the development of 17 gigawatt of solar power capacity, supported by approximately 33 gigawatts of battery energy storage systems, or BESS. The government is targeting Indonesia's total installed solar power capacity to reach 100 gigawatt by 2029 as part of its strategy to strengthen clean energy development and reduce dependence on fossil fuels. Earlier, Minister of Investment and Downstream Industry Rosan Roslani said billions of US dollars in investment had entered Indonesia for the domestic production of solar power components. President Prabowo has also instructed that the project be accelerated through cooperation with private companies that possess solar power and battery technology. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin is pushing for Hepatitis B and Hepatitis C treatment services to be made available at community health centers or puskesmas. The move is part of Indonesia's effort to eliminate hepatitis as a public health threat by 2030. Speaking at the 2026 World Hepatitis Day webinar in Jakarta on Tuesday, Budi Gunadi said hepatitis treatment services must be brought closer to communities to make them more accessible. He hopes that by making treatment available at community health centers, patients will no longer have to rely on hospitals for medical care.
We will review all types of medicines to determine which ones can be made available at community health centers and then encourage their distribution there. This will shorten the treatment journey for patients, so they will not have to go to hospitals while also expanding their access to treatment.
In addition to expanding treatment services at community health centers, the health minister also called for increased screening for hepatitis B and hepatitis C. The government will also push for lower medicine prices to make treatment more affordable for the public. These measures are expected to accelerate efforts to achieve the hepatitis elimination target by 2030, in line with the goal set by the World Health Organization, or WHO. Indonesia and Kuwait agreed to strengthen their bilateral partnership to support regional stability and energy security by expanding cooperation in several priority sectors. It was discussed during a meeting between Indonesian Foreign Minister Sugiono and Kuwaiti Ambassador to Indonesia Khalid Jassim Alaisin in Jakarta on Tuesday. During the meeting, the two countries discussed concrete steps to strengthen cooperation, particularly in the energy and development investment sectors. The two officials also exchanged views on developments in the Middle East. Indonesia and Kuwait emphasized the importance of the de-escalation effort to ease tensions in the region. Both countries also agreed to promote dialogue and peaceful approaches that uphold international law in resolving conflicts. The Indonesian government is taking precautionary measures to deal with El Nino, a tropical climate phenomenon originating in the Pacific Ocean that is expected to intensify this year's dry season. One of the main priorities is ensuring adequate water reserves and preventing forest fires. Head of the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysic Agency, Teuku Faisal Fatani in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the agency would carry out weather modification operation to replenish reservoir in cooperation with relevant parties.
The BMKG is conducting several weather modification operations in cooperation with the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, the Ministry of Forestry, and private companies to replenish reservoirs across Indonesia. We have 240 reservoirs. We are trying to refill some of them, although not all, so they can be used for hydroelectric power generation, irrigation, and clean water supplies.
Faisal added that weather modification efforts to address forest and land fires will be carried out by saturating peatlands with water. The operation will focus on six provinces, namely Riau, Jambi, South Sumatra, West Kalimantan, Central Kalimantan, and South Kalimantan. He added that such preventive measures have proven effective in controlling forest and land fires in Indonesia since 2015. Indonesia is pushing for stronger cooperation on sustainable mangrove management across ASEAN through the World Mangrove Center, or WMC. The Indonesian delegation conveyed the initiative during the 21st ASEAN Working Group on Forest Management meeting in Siem Reap, Cambodia on Tuesday. In official statement, Head of the Public Relations and International Cooperation Bureau at the Ministry of Forestry, Ristianto Pribadi, said Indonesia will continue strengthening forestry diplomacy to address global environmental challenges while deepening cooperation among ASEAN member states. According to Ristianto, mangroves play a strategic role in climate change mitigation and adaptation. Mangrove ecosystems also protect coastal areas, preserve biodiversity, and improve the welfare of surrounding communities. The WMC will serve as an international collaboration hub connecting science, policy, financing, and the implementation of mangrove conservation and rehabilitation programs. Through the center, Indonesia aims to accelerate efforts to protect and restore mangrove ecosystems both within ASEAN and globally. The World Mangrove Center will use the Mangrove Information Center in Bali as its operational hub. Indonesia will also strengthen the ASEAN Mangrove Network as a foundation for regional cooperation on mangrove management. Indonesian para-athlete Ikadek Dwi Purwanayasa achieved a remarkable feat by breaking the world record in the F57 discus throw event. The record was set at the 2026 World Para-Athletics Grand Prix in Mexico. An official statement released on Tuesday, July 28, 2026, said Kadek recorded a throw of 48.68 meters. The result surpassed previous world record of 48.55 meters held by Brazilian athlete Thiago Paulino dos Santos. Kadek's achievement also helped the Indonesian contingent secure a total of 16 medals at the championship. Listeners, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Musikmu ku akan
apa mengerti dirimu. Dan benar saja ada hati lain yang kau jaga, seakan-akan ku tak bisa membaca. Kau buat seperti tak ada yang terluka.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Safety isn't just a guideline, it's a promise we uphold to one another. As you traverse our vibrant communities and delve into unique adventures, rest assured that norms and authorities work hard to foster a safe haven for every traveller. So let's journey with peace of mind, respecting the guidelines that keep us all safe.
Dancing won't help my economic condition. If I dance, when am I going to make money?
That words came from Kadek Sriyani, a woman aged 38, a villager of Manistutu, Bali, who since 15 years ago has been working as a stone breaker on the river of Tukadayo, Manistutu, Bali.
I've been working since I was married, around 15 years ago. I already started working here, breaking the stone, working in the fields, lifting the rock, digging the sand.
Most Balinese women would have started dancing since they are in the elementary school. But with the passage of their lives, dancing is just special occasions only. As in the case of stone breaker from Manistutu village, Kadek Sriyani. Her dainty fingers are now used in a graceful movement in a dance alone, but more often are used to do work that should be done by men, breaking stones, without any fear that their tapering fingers might be injured by the weight of the hammer used to break up large stones. How many hammers actually that Kadek has?
Three hammers actually, but this one is borrowed. I have only two. However, I can borrow from my sister. Working together, you know, if the stone is too big and cannot be broken, I could ask my sister to help. Friends too.
While working together, each has her share of rock.
Each has her own share, so later if there is a truck coming in, it can be easily seen which one belongs to me and which plot belongs to my friends. So it's easy to divide the money.
At a glance, breaking the stone looks quite easy. This is not true, of course, but there are some tricks to make the job easier.
It depends. There are some lines on the stone surface. If they are smooth, do not hit them because they might shatter and you'd get hurt. The term is monk trick, so you must look carefully whether it can be broken down or not.
Being a stone breaker, Kadek never feels afraid of hurting her hands, even when she is wounded. Kadek already has a way to overcome it.
Yes, we'll treat it using a banana tree shoot, chewed and pasted. Then put it on the wound so that blood doesn't come out.
Every day, Kadek Sriyani does the work of breaking down the stone after the domestic work is completed. She goes to Tukadayo River in Manistutu village, about 4 hours' drive from Denpasar, to break stones along with other women. There are no fixed working hours, although her income a day at most is only 25,000 rupiah to 30,000 rupiah, Kadek Sriyani accepts it gratefully. For Kadek, the results obtained are a gift from the Almighty. Her income is not fixed, depending on the weather. Because if it rains, the small truck cannot get into the river to buy the broken stone. Then, the stone that has been broke down into small pieces and the sand that has been filtered will be washed away again by the water. But bright weather also sometimes does not guarantee the money that they get can be a lot. Because even though they have broken rocks under the umbrella made of palm leaves for one whole day, no truck would come to buy the stones because there is no development project. Things like this often happen.
Depending on the faith, if things are smooth, then everything will. But if there is no project, then business will be bad.
Almost all Balinese women can dance, for dancing is part of the rituals for worshipping among the Hindu Balinese. Most of them learn to dance in their primary school. But with the passage of their lives, the women, especially the stone breakers, only dance on special occasions, such as rituals in temples. The stone breaker women of Manistutu village, however, do not want to dance for money either, as expressed by Kadek Sriyani.
Malu gini.
It will be so embarrassing. I'm fat now. Dancing doesn't help the economy. If I dance, when can I make some money?
Although the lives of stonebreaker women and their families are hard, they still diligently do the job as stonebreakers. Sometimes, they also hope for some other job which in accordance with their capabilities, to be able to slightly improve their lives.
What important is to have a job, so I can send my children to school and they can have decent meals every day.
Manistutu village chief Iketut Sukadana has his own views about the profession of his female villagers. I understand, digging the sand is not really their choice, really. This is a necessity. If they could have another job, they would take it then. But they do not have the expertise and skill to do that. Digging sand or rocks in the river like that is actually not a life choice, because they do not have other skills to compete in other areas. That was the story of the brave woman from Manistutu, Bali, who are now using their dainty fingers to break up stones to provide for their families. The story of Kadek Sriyani shows that Balinese women are women who have incredible energy.
Step into the pristine beauty of Indonesia, where every path leads you to unspoiled beaches and natural wonders. Let's join hands to maintain clean and inviting surroundings that welcome us at every turn. Together, we ensure that the breathtaking landscapes Indonesia is framed for remain enchanting for generations to come.
only in Indonesia.
When does one really reach maturity? Nias people has a way to find out. There is a Fahombo Batu, the most well-known culture from Nias Island, North Sumatra Province. Fahombo Batu is done by a young man in traditional costume. If a young man decides to do the Fahombo Batu and succeed, he will be seen as a grown-up. This young man must jump over a small stone pyramid. This pile of stone is around 2 meters tall. During the jump, the visitor can only see the action from afar.
See you. ada titik-titik.
Listener, as Gempol Pleret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as Gempol Pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Some call as Gempol Pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation. But there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Pleret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tape. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
The history of the rich culture of Indonesia dates back to the Megalithic era, a ritual of a strong warrior that shows maturity, power, strength, and pride. More than just a physical ritual challenge, but also a sign of value, culture, and respect, this is Indonesia Lompat Batu Nias. Lompat Batu Nias, or stone jumping tradition from Nias Island, Indonesia, is a traditional practice specifically for young men of the Nias people, historically used as a rite of passage into adulthood. A success of jumping over the specially constructed stones indicates that the youth has achieved physical maturity, bravery, and readiness to take on societal responsibilities, including marriages and historically military role. The young people starting around ages 7 until 10, boys undergo physical training, gradually increasing jump heights to develop strength, agility, and technique. Mental preparation, including focus and overcoming fear, is equally emphasized in this one. The ritual process, which is the stone jump, is the key challenge. It is a stacked stone structure averaging 2 meters in height and 40 until 60 centimeters in thickness, sometimes shaped like a pyramidal monument with a flat top. The young man must clear it in a single jump without touching the top, ensuring a controlled landing, and those who succeed are celebrated by the community, and they are formally recognized as a man capable of adult responsibilities, symbolizing courage, power, discipline, and social maturity. Families may hold a festive in honor of the achievement. And that's all about Lompat Batu Nias. I'm Gatan from the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Do you know? There is Lingsir Wengi, a Japanese song that is believed to summon spirits. However, the lyrics of Lingsir Wengi apparently aims to do oppositely. The song, which is also called Kidung Remekso Ing Wengi, was created by Sunan Kalijaga and sung after evening prayer to prevent any spirit or demon from coming. The lyric can also mean as a prayer to the god.
Listeners, in today's edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song called Hati Yang Terluka or Broken Heart by Keroncong Biru. The song, popularized by Bruri Marantika, was released in 1999. The song, created by Arianto, tells the story of the destruction of love due to being hurt by someone you love. The song lyrics vividly depict the pain that one experiences when the expected love doesn't materialize. The song also creates a powerful image of loss and longing. Listeners can feel the depth of the hurt with each verse recounting a grueling emotional journey. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Biru with the song Hati Yang Terluka. Happy listening!